This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What's going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase tonight. Off-season workouts begin. Plus, Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald may not break the bank. And later, Skip Bayless said, what now? Next on Rams Showcase.
Welcome to Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio.
What's going on, Rams fans? And welcome back into Rams Showcase right here on Sports War Radio on the Fan Side of Network. I'm your host, Joe Brandon, but you can and should call me Sheriff Joe Beggs. I am laying down the law for you tonight. Not a whole lot to get into, but we do have a decent amount to talk about. I did not ask for fan quesos, so we do not have that on the back end. We will kind of compensate for that going into next week as we head into the NFL draft next week, actually. So it's not an exciting time, I guess, for Rams fans, or not the most exciting time for Rams fans. But that's all good. Before we get into the beef here, just a couple of housekeeping items for you. If you are hearing the audio-only version of this, great news. There's a YouTube channel that you can subscribe to, youtube.com/ramshowcase. Give a subscribe there. You can watch a video version of the full podcast. If you are watching the video version on YouTube, then, hey, great news. There's also an audio-only version of Ram Showcase that you can listen to wherever. If you're, like, driving or something, or you need to, maybe you're working out, maybe you can't always be watching the video. There's an audio version as well. It's the same exact thing. And you can find that anywhere. iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all of the places you find podcasts, you can find Ram Showcase, I promise you. And my only other thing here, my only other housekeeping, well, you can subscribe to follow the Ram Showcase on social media, which is at Ram Showcase, just about everywhere. And also, the only other thing that I have is if you have not already, first of all, fallen totally in love with Bobby Wagner being a Los Angeles Ram, then there's about a 30-minute interview that he did on the Rich Eisen show that I think will help that along if you would like to join us. I say us because I know 100% I'm not alone in my excitement for Bobby Wagner. You could join us and check that out, and I think that that'll lead to a decent amount of excitement as we kind of learn who Bobby Wagner is and just get pumped about him. I didn't realize that he was wearing 54 because it added up to 9. And if you guys see this jersey up here, you guys will see that is my number 9. And I've got my Stafford because of it and stuff like that. But that's why he went with 45. It had nothing to do with 54. It was all just that it added up to number 9. And so he went with 45 because of that, which I absolutely love as well. The number 9 is awesome. All right. Let's get into the beef here. Also, by the way, I am 100% drinking coffee. I now work nights, and it right now is morning. So that is going to be a thing that happens probably forever now on Ram Showcase, as I now do nights for a radio station, so it's fun. Let's see. All right, beef time. Off-season workouts, they did begin, and we are seeing some awesome clips and some sweet montages and stuff on the Ram Showcase social media pages about these workouts beginning. It's really cool to see Wagner in there. It's really cool to see Robinson in there. And then, of course, it's awesome to see our regulars in there as well. Guys like Cooper Kupp in there working out. Ernest Jones seems to be getting a lot of the spotlight right now, which is really exciting. I think that he's kind of primed to make a big jump. And also, not only is I think Ernest Jones just in a position to make a big jump, but now he's also learning from Bobby Wagner, who is a regular person who is in contact with Ray Lewis. So I imagine that trio will eventually become some sort of thing where Ernest Jones and Ray Lewis are interacting. But Bobby Wagner has basically said, he was talking about this on Rich Eisen, that he said that he wants to be for others what Ray Lewis has been to him, which is just some like a kind of guiding force and an inspiration. And so that immediately, my brain went immediately to Ernest Jones. And it was like, okay, this is perfect. Like, Ernest Jones, who already, he has, like, the schematics. He's got the framework in place to be an all-time great linebacker. And now he's working alongside a future Hall of Famer in Bobby Wagner, and has a direct connection now to another Hall of Famer in Ray Lewis. So I think that that's a kind of a perfect situation, and I'm excited to see what Ernest Jones can do. I know that Bobby Wagner, B-Wags, is the conversation right now at the linebacker spot. I'm going to be riding the Ernest Jones train pretty heavy as we continue, because we know that Bobby Wagner is awesome. What we know is also that Ernest Jones has the ability to become that, but we need to see it unfold, of course, but I think we're headed in the right direction. Also, Justin Hollins, I'm going to be riding that one pretty hard as well, too. But I got to say, so far, we are back into the off-season workouts, and being in a Super Bowl, this happened the 2018 season as well, going into the next year, it just felt so quick. The off-season is basically like, we're just plowing right on through. I feel like we just were playing games not long ago, and now we're already back in action, preparing for another run, and let's see if this team can do it. And I've talked about it before of it, like how hard it is to repeat. And I think that after the 2018 season, that season, I know for myself, and I can only speak from my own personal experience, and I definitely got like some people that were making fun of me for these comments before, but that season was exhausting, and it took a lot out of me as a person covering it. But then this one was not the same way, even though it was this, well, even longer in like technically, because the Rams, I mean, there was also the extra regular season game there. But that 2018 season, like, I felt exhausted afterwards, and I was kind of burnt out after that season had ended. And then we went right into the offseason, and I didn't feel like I had recovered. Like, I didn't feel like I recovered. And I don't know if that's the same case for anybody else, but it was kind of like the offseason workouts began going into the 19 season, and it was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I'm ready for this to become, like, to be back already. But this season is just so different. For myself, I know that, like, I kind of, I don't want to say, like, oh, I've got experience now with the Rams being in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's kind of true, but, like, I kind of knew what to prepare for, and I knew that this offseason was going to feel very short. But it was one of those where it's like, okay, let's pull it back a little bit, and then now we're kind of ready to roll. And I think it helps also in my personal life of getting, like, a new job, stuff like that. I think that kind of helped me kind of change the era and kind of flip that page into going into a new season entirely. But it kind of also just feels like, I say all that because it also feels like the team is just a different vibe from when after that 2018 season. It felt like the team was exhausted as well. And maybe I'm alone there. Maybe I'm completely just, you know, blowing smoke and I have no idea what I'm saying. But I know for myself that after the 2018 season, I was more exhausted. It felt like the team was more exhausted. And of course, follow that up with just a 9-7 record. But this year feels completely different. And it feels like the Rams, like, they won the Super Bowl, but that's now wiped off. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, that doesn't do anything for us now. Winning that Super Bowl does not help us going into the 2022 season. That like, there's different conversations that have to be had as far as, like, that goes, I guess. Because if we're talking about who is the best team right now, it's obviously the Los Angeles Rams. If we're talking about who is the best team overall and we're going to go historical and stuff like that, then we got to have the conversations of like, the previous winners and stuff like that. But where we are right now, the Rams are the best. But it also feels like going into the season, we're not using that as, like, we won the Super Bowl as, like, this mindset entering the next season of, like, we are unstoppable because we did this. It feels like the team's going into the season like, okay, we did that, but now that's over. Now it's time to put it back together and make another run. That's just kind of the vibes that I'm picking up myself. Please let me know if you guys are feeling something different on the other end of this year. But it's just kind of how it feels like to me. It feels like this team is more prepared to have a shortened offseason with making it all the way to the Super Bowl than they were before in the 2018 season, which was only Sean McVay's second year as the Rams coach. So, I mean, it makes sense that we're better prepared now going into this year than we were back then. The Rams also, by the way, we are 1 week away from the draft, but we're also, like, I mean, the Rams don't participate in day one. Day one is for suckers. And you know what? Round two, I'm going to say this year is also for losers, unless the Rams move up into that round. And then that round is for winners. But the first round, I don't anticipate the Rams getting there. So that round is for dweebs. And The Rams did announce their draft house. There's some incredible photos. I may or may not put some of those up on the YouTube version of this video, depending on time. And it's awesome. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, the Rams draft house is exactly what you would expect it to be. It's incredible. Last year, it was somewhere else. This one's in Hollywood Hills. But the Rams also don't pick till 104. It doesn't seem like a very nap-friendly place. Like, it's very modern in that regard. So I don't know if the Rams will be napping during the first round. Probably getting into it and seeing what the rest of this division is going to look like. What are the Seahawks going to do at 9? You know, stuff like that is kind of what we'll be keeping our eyes on. And then now, I mean, it feels like the 49ers might jump into that first round potentially with a Debo trade. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And then also there is a contest to check out the house and for a fan to check out the house. And you could also meet some Rams execs, which would include Les Snead. I believe Demoff would be there. It feels like McVay would probably be there as well. But I think that would be awesome to go meet these people. And whoever it is, I think, has the opportunity to have like some really cool conversations with the Rams general manager, less make a deal Snead, because obviously he's got his memes now, which is really cool to see. I think it's fun. The way this team is right now, I mean, we are such a long way away from, oh man, I'm totally blanking on the name. Our old GM, Billy Devaney. We're so far away from Devaney and like Spags and Linehan and like all those guys, you know, like, I don't know. It's kind of crazy to think that when we go back and kind of think about some of that stuff of where this team is at right now and where this team has been. I mean, it really is unbelievable. It's some fun stuff. And for those fans, I'm not a fan hater here. I'm not gatekeeping Rams fandom. For those fans, though, that have been here for those times and saw, like, 6 wins in 3 seasons and stuff like that, this is even better. I have no hatred, though, towards the fans who are hopping on board now. Welcome, and enjoy this ride, because this is really fun. But, yeah, it's some good stuff. All right. Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald, their extensions are expected soon. There are conversations going on. Cooper Kupp says that he's not trying to beat anybody and also not trying to reset the market at the wide receiver spot, which is great news to hear. I mean, obviously, he deserves a massive payday. He did something last year alone that only one other receiver has done in his entire career, and that would be winning the Triple Crown, winning Offensive Player of the Year and Super Bowl MVP. Only one other wide receiver in NFL history has done all 3 of those things, and that was Jerry Rice, and Jerry Rice did not do it in one season. Cooper Kupp did all 3 of those things in just 1 year, which is unbelievable. Unreal stuff right there. But he deserves a massive payday, but it also sounds like he's going to be willing to work with the team here and not just totally have one of these situations where he's like, I want to be the highest paid. If you can't do it, somebody else will. It doesn't seem like Cooper Kupp has that mentality, which is perfect for this team. I mean, that is such the Rams mindset of like, let's build. It's very much like, and people are going to hate this, but it's very much like Patriots dynasty vibes where people were taking less money. Tom Brady was, do you realize how much more Tom Brady could have made from the New England Patriots if he wasn't like open to having that money get spread elsewhere? I mean, he could have made stupid amounts of money for the New England Patriots, especially there near the end where he could have said, like, look at how many rings I have. Pay me my money. Like, who cares if we can't get other people? I need this money kind of thing. He absolutely could have done that. And it's very possible that some teams would have participated in that. But Cooper Kupp does not seem to have that feeling. It looks like he's going to be willing to work with the team and allow the team to work with his deal in a way that's friendly and also gives him what he's worth. And I think we've seen how the team does that, which is give, perfect example, Bobby Wagner's contract. It's sold as a 5-year deal. Yes, it's a 5-year deal, but really it's a 2-year deal. And the reason it's really a 2-year deal but is said to be a 5-year deal is because we can now spread out the, we can take his money, put it into bonus, but now we say, okay, that's spread out over 5 years. While he makes a bunch of money, the cap is thinned out over 5 years, and now you have a lower cap number in this year. if that makes sense. I hope that I'm making sense, because that's like, it's a little weird to explain the gymnastics that is happening here, but there's also people that are straight up, there's GMs that are straight up like, you can always work with the cap. It's always possible. And that's the kind of stuff that the Rams do to be able to work around that cap. Aaron Donald also, though, he is expected to get a new big deal, which is very well deserved. I think that if Aaron Donald's not in the game on that fourth down play in the Super Bowl, maybe the Rams don't win. Like, honestly, Jalen Ramsey fell down and Ja'Marr Chase was wide open right when Aaron Donald got to Joe Burrow. Who else in the NFL gets to Joe Burrow that fast? I'm not sure there is anybody else in the NFL that would have gotten to Joe Burrow when he did and essentially won the game for the Los Angeles Rams. And if anybody wants to say that Aaron Donald's not worth all the money, anything like that, just watch those last couple plays. Because what was it, second down or was it the third down? That he was being blocked. They tried to run the football right at Aaron Donald, which, A, come on now, guys. It's the Super Bowl. Zach Taylor, you're better than that, man. You were on the Rams. What are you trying to, whatever. But they ran it right at Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's getting blocked and still makes the tackle for no gain and forces it to be fourth down. If you need to see why he deserves all of that money, then, I mean, watch those last couple plays, because without those, maybe the Rams don't win the game. Honestly, without Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald, the Rams probably don't win the Super Bowl. As simple as that. And they deserve all the big dollar bills that are coming their way. But you can expect Aaron Donald's contract to be a lot of bonus money with extra years added onto his current deal. Originally, he had signed, I believe it was a 5-year, 135, something around that. But expect just more years to be added and some extra bonus money being tagged on as well. And that'll help the Rams thin out the salary cap. And honestly, the Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald deals that we are expecting, as much as they're going to be making more money, also I can confidently say that I think that it'll spread out that cap enough where the Rams will open up some space and potentially bring in the other names that we've kind of been tied to a little bit here and there. Tyrann Mathieu is one of those. Also, if Tyrann Mathieu comes in, the Rams have the ability to just cut Taylor Rapp, who saves the Rams about $2.5 million also. So you can wiggle around some cap space with Kupp and Donald and then open up that extra $2.5 with Rapp. I think it's absolutely realistic that the Rams bring in Tyrann Mathieu and have Mathieu and Fuller being the two safeties. There's also been some other conversations. I know Gilmore was in there, but obviously now he's off the market. There's some other edge rushers that have been talked about too. Jadeveon Clowney, who I don't necessarily get excited about, but I wouldn't also hate it. I don't know. There's also some other names out there. James Bradberry seems to be available from the New York Giants. I would be ecstatic if the Rams could pull off Bradberry and have Bradberry play opposite of Jalen Ramsey. His cap number is about $13 million this year, though, so he would possibly get traded and then a deal reworked to keep that number a little bit down. But we'll kind of see what happens. The Rams are still needing, though, what I would say still needing a CB2 if Robert Rochelle is not going to be that guy, which I think he can be. And he's said to be healthy now, but that is a position that the Rams probably will be addressing. And then I wouldn't be surprised to bring in another edge rusher. But let's be real here, and we got the draft coming up in 1 week from date of recording. I'm going to try to get this video out before I leave for work. If not, then it'll be out Friday, which means we're under a week until the draft. But realistically, yeah, I mean, if we're looking at the NFL draft, and the reason I don't do a lot of pre-draft coverage is the Rams pick at 104, and who at 104 is going to be available that would be a starter on this team? So this is really a depth draft. And I don't think that that should shock anybody or blow anybody's minds that the Rams are probably going to be going into this draft looking to fill out the roster, the bottom end of the roster, and just get a little bit more well-rounded and get that depth at certain positions that are needed, like edge rusher, cornerback, offensive line, you know, those spots that I think make perfect sense of needing some depth at. All right, like I said, I don't have fan quesos, so real fast, we'll talk about Debo. Just wanted to mention this real fast. The NFC West has, I think, gotten a lot worse this offseason. The AFC West 100% has taken the title of best division in football. I wouldn't see an argument against that, really. All four of those teams look like true contenders. I know that the Chargers didn't make the playoffs last year, but they are so stacked. The Raiders have always kind of been thrown in, I guess recently, have been thrown in as like the worst team in that division alongside with the Broncos. But the Broncos bring in Russell Wilson. The Raiders add somebody like Devontae Adams. So that division is just unbelievable. We all know who the Chiefs are. So they've taken the title of best division. And the Seahawks did not help that at all for the NFC West. And now the 49ers are not helping that at all. And Deebo Samuel has requested a trade. It seems like this has come out about a week ago that he actually did request the trade, but nobody was talking about it. And then Adam Schefter is the one that said this happened about a week ago. But that kind of surprised me because Adam Schefter is a total toolbox where he loves to be first on stuff. And he likes to report things without any regard of what kind of impact that'll have on the human beings that are being discussed. And part of the story, he's very quick to be first, and he wants to be first way more than he wants to be right. So I was really surprised to see him say that that had happened before and that potentially he knew about it and didn't say anything. That's very off brand for a guy like Schefter. But hey, I mean, maybe there's a new leaf coming from Schefter where he's going to not be a total toolbox and actually have some regard for humans that he's dealing with in his position, because it's gotten pretty rough in the past before. But Deebo Samuel, honestly, where could he, like, this coming out right now is interesting timing because we are 1 week out from the NFL draft. So what kind of impact does this have on the draft? It kind of feels like that Deebo wants to get a massive payday and he's seeing what other receivers are getting. Christian Kirk, even, like, he knows Christian Kirk, like, they play twice a year, and he's probably sitting here looking at his contract of, like, this dude is making that much money, what can I go make? And I don't know how many teams have, like, that kind of space where they would just be willing to toss dollar bills at Deebo Samuel like that, but there's definitely teams out there, and, I mean, the way that teams like the Rams structure deals, I mean, it's possible for him to get something going here, but where could he possibly go with 1 week before the draft? I mean, you got to look at the teams that are needing a wide receiver and probably looking at wide receivers early in the draft. And you got to look at teams like the Jets, the Falcons, teams that are up there that could use some weapons, some weaponry. But you know what? The timing is really interesting to me. It seems like this is something that should have come out earlier. But could Deebo and Jimmy Garoppolo also be packaged? And who would want both of them? And I could only find one team that I think would take both of them, Deebo and Jimmy, and could afford it, and also has like the capital to make a move happen, which would be the Houston Texans. I just don't see them being legitimate players in the Deebo and Jimmy camp. You know what I mean? But also, let's get these dudes to, not Jimmy, because he's irrelevant. He's a very, very good backup. Like, he's too good to be a backup, but he's like a bad starter, if that makes sense. Like, that's kind of the window, the little pocket, excuse me, that I put him in. So I don't know. That's a tough one. But Deebo, if Deebo can go to the AFC, that would be awesome, because that just means that the NFC gets even weaker, and not only the NFC, but the NFC West gets weaker as well. The Bucks, that's the list of the, like, the competition for the Rams out of the NFC. It's list all the teams that the Rams are in competition with. The Bucks, and that's your teams. The Packers, I just don't buy. I'm not buying the Packers right now. They don't have any weapons right now. Of course, they're pre-draft. We'll see what happens, but I don't know. There's something about the Green Bay Packers and the fact that they have no weapons, the fact that Aaron Rodgers broke the bank and then doesn't show up for voluntary camps. Like, if you're going to be that guy who makes that kind of money, you got to be that guy, you know, who is also the leader of the team. And if you're not going to be there for this kind of stuff, then I think it's a bad look. Also, I just don't know, like, because I have teams that actually make sense for a trade here, in my opinion. The Jets, Lions, Packers, Patriots, Colts, and Chiefs. Not all those teams would, I think, be willing to make this move or be able to afford the move, but let's break those down a little bit here. The Chiefs, losing Tyreek, I think that Deebo would be a solid replacement, and they didn't replace Tyreek Hill with players who I think can fill that role, so I think Deebo would make sense there. The Colts could absolutely use a wide receiver. Patriots, who the heck are the Patriots wide receivers? I don't even know if I can name any of them. So that would be a good spot there. The Packers, like I had mentioned, I'm just not sure the Packers, I'm not sure if their front office is competent enough to make this move. I think it makes, I think it makes perfect sense for them to make this move. I just don't think that they're competent enough to pull it off and be able to pay him what he's asking for. The Lions, I think, would be a great spot for Debo. That I think that he would fit in with that personality of the Detroit Lions under Dan Campbell. I think that he just, he fits there. The New York Jets, another team that I have, like, I could barely name anybody on that roster, but I know that they could definitely use some weapons, and they also have the capital to make a move as far as a trade goes. So we'll see what happens, but Debo leaving the San Francisco 49ers definitely makes the division worse, which helps the Los Angeles Rams, so I'm all about it. The division itself, honestly, I mean, it's the Rams division right now. Seattle Seahawks, it seems like they're accepting a rebuild. The Arizona Cardinals, they have to prove that they can withstand late season and got to figure out what the heck is going on with Kyler Murray before I will even include them in a conversation. We need to see. I think it's Cliff Kingsbury has not, in any level, no matter where he's been coaching, he has not won more than two games in the final six of a season. So he's got to be able to prove that that's something that he can overcome before I'm willing to put him in any real conversations of being contenders. And then San Francisco, if they lose their best offensive weapon, it's not going to hurt my feelings at all. All right, guys, we're going to take one quick break here. And on the other side, we're going to be talking about Skip Bayless. I just want to address some of his comments that he said. We don't have fan cases, so that'll be the wrap up here of the show. A little quicker than our average shows. But we'll get some good stuff, too, for quesos as we head into the draft of next week. So one quick break here, and we are going to be talking about Skip Bayless and his comments about the Los Angeles Rams fan base. Welcome back into Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fan-Sided Network. It is on every page of the Fan-Sided Rams website, which is RamblinFan.com, embedded directly into all those articles, which is, hey, awesome stuff there. Awesome stuff. I absolutely appreciate the peeps over at Fan-Sided. They've been super helpful and super awesome and helping Ram Showcase grow, which I love. And my name is Sheriff Joe Beggs, laying down the law, you know, and Skip Bayless is—he's in the conversation a lot, and a lot of it's based on the comments that he says, and the latest comments that kind of drew my attention because I don't pay a lot of attention to people like Skip Bayless. The argument shows annoy me. I don't think they're fun to watch at all. I'll be watching ESPN, and all of a sudden it's like, why am I getting frustrated? Like, oh, it's because Skip Bayless is on my screen, and it's like a subconscious thing. But Skip Bayless recently says that the worst fans in America are the Los Angeles Rams fans. So I heard that and immediately I was like, okay, well, Skip is gonna skip. You know what I mean? That's like whatever. He just says things. He says things that are obnoxious, and it is to get a reaction, and it is to rile people up. And I get that. And I was going to kind of go in on Skip a little bit and have all these comments. I was going to try to come up with a bunch of jokes and all this stuff. But you know what? I mean, I don't think that's the approach I wanted to take. Just try to go after Skip and just like try to make a bunch of fun of him. It's too easy to make fun of Skip Bayless, honestly. So I mean, whatever. And the fact that I'm talking about this right now means that he already won. So congrats to Skip on winning because he got in. He did something that made me react enough to write up a segment about him. So congratulations, Skip. You did what you needed to do. But I've got a little bit of information for Skip. Let's just go ahead and get into it. Dear Skip, just because your favorite NFL team has a rich and powerful owner as well, with a much more established fan base than the Los Angeles Rams, and that fan base is extremely willing to spend a lot of money, but they're far less willing to go all in year after year. So you have what we have, a powerful owner with a bunch of money who is willing to take risks, but he doesn't. Jerry Jones does not, while Stan Kroenke is. Rams are willing to go all in and year out, while the Dallas Cowboys seem to kind of hang out. They want to build through the draft. They're not great at that. They do have some good players. Diggs is very good. Parsons is very good. But ultimately, they kind of hang on too tight to players that are not as relevant as they probably could be, but they're not going all in every year. Something that the Rams have shown already. I mean, coming off of a Super Bowl and then going after guys like Bobby Wagner and Allen Robinson, I think is kind of proof that the Rams are ready to try to go for it again. But that also doesn't mean that the Rams fan base is bad, that the Rams are willing to go all in while your team is not, the Dallas Cowboys. They're not willing to go all in, and we've seen proof of that simply because of their roster moves. We can see that they're not willing to go all in. They're in a terrible division and still are struggling to establish themselves in the modern NFL. The Cowboys have a lot of the same resources as the Los Angeles Rams, but the Rams are simply just better at utilizing them. The Dallas Cowboys have a brand, just like the Los Angeles Rams, that has a big-name brand that is historically relevant, but the Cowboys don't seem to care about utilizing that in a way that gets people to go to them. The Cowboys regularly whiff on getting big-name players. They had Von Miller. They had him. And then he goes to the Buffalo Bills. I mean, there's countless examples of that as well, but of players that could have gone to Dallas. Bobby Wagner, absolutely, is in that as well. Could have gone there, but instead chose the Los Angeles Rams. There's got to be a reason. The Rams spend money on people like Cooper Kupp, not people like Amari Cooper, who is now no longer there. He's now a Cleveland Brown. And the Rams also have a person in Cooper Kupp that is willing to kind of work with the team, so I'll give you that as well. But that's where the Rams spend their money, not on a guy, Amari Cooper, who doesn't have as much of an impact as a guy like Cooper Kupp does, for sure. The Rams, they move on from their Super Bowl quarterback to upgrade at that position, and the Dallas Cowboys spend big money on a guy who has definitely not made the Super Bowl and is ultimately a pretty average quarterback in the NFL. Dak Prescott, hanging on to him a little too tight, while the Rams were able to just... Jared Goff got the Rams to a Super Bowl, and sure, he had his downfalls as far as his... where parts of his game he could have improved, but if you watch that NFC Championship game, a very hostile environment, one of the loudest games that I've ever watched, and the way that he was able to kind of handle that game and get the Rams, especially through the overtime period, getting the ball moving into a position to kick the field goal. I mean, it's absolutely that Jared Goff played a big role in that, especially that entire season played a big role. The Rams were willing to move on from him pretty quick because they felt like they could improve, while the Dallas Cowboys hang on very, very tight to their quarterback, who is proven to be pretty average. The Rams hire a first-time head coach in Sean McVay, who immediately changes the entire team's culture. Not a coach with an average track record in McCarthy, who had come from having a Hall of Fame quarterback and only winning one ring with him. And then they expected massive changes with McCarthy coming in from going from Garrett to McCarthy, and seems to be ultimately the same team. While you can notice a very dramatic difference in going from Jeff Fisher to Sean McVay, very, very massive difference. And that's just another example of something that I think that Skip Bayless wanted from the Dallas Cowboys, is a massive change in the culture going from Garrett to a new coach. Going from Jeff Fisher to McVay, that was a massive improvement, unbelievable improvement that changed the entire culture. While going from Jason Garrett to McCarthy, is that even an upgrade? I don't know. I think an argument could be made on either side, but ultimately the Dallas Cowboys feel like the same team that they were before that. Let's see here. The Rams, they see a decline in their running back with Todd Gurley, who was extremely talented for a few years there, and they were willing to eat money to move on from him because they saw that he was kind of starting to struggle with his knee. And the Dallas Cowboys overpay for Zeke and kind of hang on to him too tightly. He's probably not even the best running back on that roster anymore, but they feel tied to him now and unwilling to move on while the Rams were eating a bunch of dead cap, but wanted to improve that position on the field, so moved on from him. Another example of something that the Rams are willing to do and willing to get their team better, even if it means eating some dead money, while the Dallas Cowboys are not willing to do that. They would rather hang on to a guy for a couple more years, more than they need to, simply because they don't want to have dead cap, or they're not ready to move on from that and deal with the financial responsibilities of that. The Rams created an entire entertainment district in Inglewood, California. It's ready to host massive events, not only massive games, but also massive events such as the NFL Honors Show. There's now going to be, we could talk about the games, but let's give the Dallas Cowboys that credit as well. They can host very large games as well at AT&T. So SoFi be in that venue. I mean, yes, that's awesome, but AT&T can do that as well. So with the whole YouTube theater area doing NFL Honors, that's not something that AT&T can do as well. So another example of something that Stan Kroenke did better than Jerry Jones as far as his development there. The Rams are willing to adapt and change to the ever-evolving NFL, and that does not just include the play style, but that includes how they handle social media, how they handle the draft, how they handle their uniforms. Everything about this team right now is very flashy, very modern, very, very leading the NFL, the way that they're doing everything. Is people are going to start to follow the Los Angeles Rams, while the Dallas Cowboys seem to still be the Dallas Cowboys of the 90s, but just a lot worse as far as the product on the field. They're still that same exact team, but they're just not winning as much as that previous team did. The Dallas Cowboys are desperately hanging on to tradition and things in the past, which is awesome and respectable, but it also doesn't lead to wins. And I think we can clearly see that based on the track record of Cowboys playoff wins over the last few decades. So and then while the Rams, I mean, they come in and made two Super Bowls in just the last couple of years. So I think that the Rams model is clearly just a lot more relevant and productive than the current Dallas Cowboys model. And I think that that's just leading to some hurt feelings by Skip Bayless, which, I mean, it totally makes sense. When you want your team to be something and you see another team being what you want your team to be, it will make you a little bit bitter. And I think that that's why a lot of hatred is coming towards the Los Angeles Rams right now, is because people do want their team to be doing what the Rams are doing. Rams fans are on that side of experiencing it. And maybe we're just excited, and maybe that's what's causing these comments, but I'm trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to talk myself through it here. But it's like I said, it's not just what the Rams are doing on the field, which is obviously very good, but it's also how the Rams are building their roster, how the Rams are just living in the community with their uniforms, their stadium, their social media presence, their draft house, the way they handle draft picks. All that stuff is just very modern way to look at the NFL, while the Dallas Cowboys are very stuck in what they have always been. But just because our team is willing to do the things that your team has the ability to do but isn't competent enough to pull off does not mean that we have the worst fan base in America. When we just show excitement for what this team has become. A lot of these Rams fans, myself included, were there for those terrible years. And when your team wins 6 games in 3 years, and about a decade and a half later, you're now winning the Super Bowl, going to 2. You've been to the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. 2 of the last 5 years, you're in the Super Bowl, and you've won one of them. I think that we have a little bit of room to be excited. I would say that any fan base would be excited about that. That kind of turnaround is something to be vocal about, I would say. Absolutely. But just because the Rams became everything that you wished the Cowboys would have become does not mean you have any ground to stand on when it comes to coming after our Los Angeles Rams fans. You're in everyone's face when the Cowboys do something good, but you're very hard to find when they fall on their face. So I would like that to switch as well. If you're going to attack a fan base when the Cowboys do something very poor, I'd just be there. Just be available. Be present when that happens as well. If you're going to be there very loud and vocal when the Cowboys do something good, like clinch a playoff spot, then I need you to be. I need that matched energy when they get knocked out of the playoffs inevitably, like they have. I mean, every time they've made it very in recent history, they get knocked out pretty embarrassingly. So it's good stuff. Jealousy is not a good look. And someone in your position, I'd honestly expect better from you, Skip. It's jealousy is hard to. It's hard to appreciate in any real sense. I mean, it's not a good look. Being jealous, vocally jealous, is not. It's not a good look. I would say that you're better than this, but I don't know if that's true, Skip. I don't know if you're better than this. I think that this is right in line with everything that you are. A pathetic comment that bleeds jealousy and bitterness is perfectly in line with what Skip Bayless represents. And if I'm being honest, man, I would be embarrassed if I was your coworker. So I'm glad I'm not. I know I would have a long way to go before I would even be in a position to work alongside you. But I'm really glad that our timelines will not cross in that regard. And I will never have to sit next to you and have that conversation in a professional setting, because it's an embarrassment. And all of your coworkers, I'm not going to say an attack coworkers of yours or anything, but I would have a hard time being a coworker of Skip Bayless and having any kind of respect for myself. That's going to wrap up Ram Showcase on this beautiful week before the draft. We're in April still as we kind of close it out and start wrapping up this roster. The draft time kind of signifies the completion of your roster and starting to wrap it all up. You've been through free agency. Now you get those young guys in as well. Of course, we are expecting some moves still from the Los Angeles Rams. I'm not sure if we expect those moves as we head before the draft. It's very possible, but we're still waiting on the news for Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald's contracts because we've already heard from Matthew Stafford. So we'll see what kind of deal they get and what that looks like. But I would anticipate that will open up some space and the Rams can make some other moves as far as some positions that aren't necessarily needs, but positions that they can improve at, such as the safety spot or at cornerback. Edge rusher as well. I like Justin Hollins. I would like to see him start there. I like Robert Rochelle. I would like to see him start there, but let's not pretend that we can't get better. This team, I mean, until we're winning every single game, I mean, you can get better. So let's just keep trying to get better, I guess, you know, it's fun stuff, but young guys coming in, that should be awesome for some depth at the positions and stuff. So we will talk about how I handle the draft is we will talk about the guys that the Rams get after the fact. We could do pre-draft coverage, but I'm not going to sit here and talk about 200 guys when the Rams are going to get 8 of them. And we'll just learn those guys and we will discuss what kind of impact that they could potentially have year one and going into years after that, because the Los Angeles Rams have shown in recent history that rookies don't really participate too much. So even this last year, by default, Ernest Jones would be the Rams rookie of the year. On offense, it would probably be Ben Skowronek when we were way more excited for guys like Tutu Atwell and Jacob Harris. So keep that in mind as we head into the NFL draft, that everybody that the Rams picked this year probably won't have that much of an impact until year 2, year 3, year 4, when we kind of see how the roster is shaping up and who is exploding and who's taken off to get bigger paychecks and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, we got to kind of just keep an eye on it. And we can absolutely get excited about the draft. I'm not trying to talk trash about anybody who gets excited about the draft. I just want to keep the expectations realistic here. While we will see a bunch of new Rams come in this next weekend, it's very, very unlikely that any of these guys will have any true impact on the 2022 season, barring some kind of injury or just some insane explosion of talent that is impossible to keep off of the football field. So Make sure you guys follow the Rams Showcase on all your favorite social media. That would be at Rams Showcase on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Rams Showcase. You can follow myself as well at Sheriff Joe Bags on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Sheriff Joe Bags. Try to keep it as simple as possible right there. If you have not already subscribed to the YouTube channel, please do so. It helps me out a ton. And I do appreciate everybody hanging out with me on this beautiful Thursday. It's 11:11 on this beautiful Thursday in Colorado, at least. It's 10:11 in California right now. But that does not mean anything to you on when you are seeing this, because this video might be out on Friday. So I don't know what to tell you guys. All right. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you guys so much for watching, and you have a great night.